Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ah, I can't take it.
They're so dramatic.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 2, Dance. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
They're throbbing biological urges.
Oh, hello. Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Dance, which just reminded me of that scene in Staying Alive in the big dance sequence, which is like, really? You sold tickets to this? It's like 7 minutes long. And this song is like, dance. Like, all right, everybody calm down. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about the second episode of Dawson's Creek. First, let us tell you about what's coming up on the Patreon. Again with this, episode 176. Holy shit. Dropping January 19th, let's watch Vanessa Marcil and David Toby Monahan in Crossing Jordan. That is called What Happens in Vegas Dies in Boston. Boo. It's season 4, episode 7. It's on the Roku channel. We'll link it in the show notes. And you can listen along with what we thought of that and 175 things before that at againwiththispodcast.com/club. If you haven't joined yet, you really should. We have a lot of fun on the Discord. We gossip about things. We debate episodes. It's a good time. Join us.
Yeah, I definitely have noticed an uptick in new Patreon supporters since we started covering Dawson's Creek. So welcome to all of you. We're thrilled to have you.
Yes, hello. Thank you.
We'll be braiding in Dawson's star projects as well. So that will be fun in the weeks and months ahead. Sarah, shall we start talking about dance?
Dance. Yes, let us.
Let's start with our B plot. Pacey yells at Tamara about the fact that she is a full-ass adult being extremely irresponsible. And I'm just going to say this now so that we don't have to keep saying it as this storyline continues. We're going to put a blanket content warning over everything Tamara because there's no way to avoid talking about it and the way that the show portrayed it, which is, you know, in many respects different than how it would be covered now, today, or even five or 10 years later, as you know, teen has crush on teacher plot lines proliferated across all of the various teen shows on the WB and the CW and ABC Family and Freeform and it's just a thing that happened. And so
it was a thing on Veronica Mars at around this time.
There you go.
Or no, actually it was 5 years later, but anyway, blech.
So if we're talking about Pacey, we're probably talking about this for the next while. So just everyone be advised. We can't not. So with that said, Tamara arrives in class with her white bra showing through her white blouse and sees Pacey waiting for her in her chair. At least he's only sitting in it. Sorry, but seriously, like he's real horny. He wants to talk, but since this is not his class, she says he should go. He keeps insisting they have a lot to talk about. She keeps denying they do until he brings up the open mouth kiss they had feet away from the students who are now in their seats. And Pacey says he is just as confused about this as she is. She hisses that nothing happened. And please go to the visual aid so that you can see the kid in the front row of class just laser focused on their intimate body language. Like this extra is not even pretending not to be fully watching them as any kid sitting right there would be.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And then clip two.
Your tongue was in my mouth. You're not being fair.
Stop being this horse. Ugh, I hate it.
Yeah. Not going to get any better either.
No. And truly, I have to also say, a different experience watching this storyline, having just watched May December, like the week that I watched this for our purposes. Who was the boss? Oh. Indeed.
Yeah. Anyway,
later, when Pacey is in Tamara's class, we find out they're doing a classic assigned book parallels episode storyline. In this case, Wuthering Heights. They're discussing how Kathy pushed Heathcliff away. Nellie says it's Kathy's dysfunctional way of letting Heathcliff know she loved him, which Tamara calls the obvious interpretation. Rude, yet true.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But Tamara says people call Wuthering Heights a great love story, but Heathcliff and Kathy never belonged together, in her opinion. Clip 3.
They never should have been together. Catherine was essentially a mess. Heathcliff was basically a decent guy who had a lot to learn about life, and he was inherently better off without some whimpering, mentally unstable wet rag following him around. The whole thing was wrong. Never should have happened. Bronte should have saved her ink.
I mean, agreed, but not for those reasons.
No.
Sorry. I'm just not an Emily guy. Mm-mm. Charlotte all day, but like, I don't know. I just thought Wuthering Heights was real boring, and mm-hmm. then we didn't study that one in particular at any point in school, so it was like, yeah. I wasn't given the chance to readdress it, but like, there's nothing quite like a Dawson's Creek, we're gonna try to make literature parallel what's going on with the kids, mm-hmm. fucking face plant by the English teacher, which is pretty much every time.
It's true. And not only that, but like, you know, we have called out already later in this episode, the instances of characters using words wrong. And like that extends to characters/writers reading books wrong. I'm not an Emily guy either. I'm not going to defend Wuthering Heights. I did study it in school, and we did this and Jane Eyre in the same class. And I had a prof who like was very pro Wuthering Heights, anti-Jane Eyre, which like has probably continued to color my opinions of both books, which I didn't really care for to this day. I'm a George Eliot guy if we're comparing notes, but anyway, Pacey gives this a Jesus lady, I get it eye roll, which you can see in the visual aids, and Nellie and other students are horrified by Tamara's dismissal of this text, which like I doubt anyone would care that much.
No.
Some number of days later, Pacey glides into the school dance, which Tamara is chaperoning. She manages to act relatively normal as Pacey talks to her from behind her shoulder, but when she says she should make the rounds, he asks her to dance, and she clearly wants to, but says it's not a good idea. He agrees, but if things were different, would she? And she has to go! And then as Pacey leaves with Dawson and Joey later, Dawson asks about the mystery woman Pacey keeps alluding to, but Pacey says she's still a mystery, even to him. But then, once again, Pacey runs into Tamara on the dock at the same exact spot where they kissed at the end of the last episode, and even he, as you can see in the visual aids as well, is like, oh, come on. But...
yeah. Plus, she's styled so mumsily, too. Like, mm-hmm. This is just the time, but it's like... thick heeled, like low heeled, chunky
always.
Shoes, uh-huh. and the little like pocketbook. Like it's just very J. Jill, and it really makes her look even older, like even more older than him than she already looks. And it's not, I don't know if that's intentional, but it makes it worse as a viewer today, certainly.
J. Jill is such a specific and mean reference, but yes, you nailed it. That's exactly what it is. So. After they've greeted each other, he's like, deja vu, huh? And she basically admits she was waiting for him. Clip 4.
I'm sorry, Pacey, about my behavior. This is, without question, the most absurd thing I've ever done. Not to mention punishable in a court of law.
It was just a kiss.
No, it was more than that. Look, what I did was deadly wrong, and I can stand here and try to explain to you my hopelessly troubled state of mind, because you do deserve an explanation for my behavior, but, well, instead of feeding you 10 years of therapy, I was hoping that maybe I could get by with a simple apology and hope that I haven't left any permanent scars. I am sorry, Pacey. What I did was wrong, and I am sorry.
Now, where do you get off taking all of the responsibility for this? I may just be 15, but I'm well beyond the age of accountability. Maybe not within the confines of the judicial system, but for me, my lips kissed back. Right? I kissed you back.
Fair enough.
No,
nope.
Bitch! Not fair enough!
No!
Not fair
You're not
enough.
Well beyond the age of anything. You're a minor. End of conversation!
Yeah. I would love to know. What were you working on in those 10 years of therapy? Because the person who should be apologizing is your therapist for doing a bad job.
Yep.
Unfortunately, she lets him go on. Clip 5.
And you know what? I don't regret that at all. You shouldn't either.
But this can't happen again. From now on, our relationship is strictly teacher-student. I want that clear.
And if I were to object?
Well, it's not up for discussion. You know it has to be this way, Pacey, for all the obvious and not so obvious reasons.
This is so unfair. I'm not good with girls, and I finally meet someone.
Don't worry, Pacey, that'll change. Trust me.
I love that the writing is trying to sort of justify this from his standpoint, which is like, whatever, he's a minor and can't give meaningful consent, so he doesn't have to like justify anything as a character who was 15 years old. But that the writing is trying to position it as like, what cruel twist of fate, like I finally meet my soulmate, like what conversations have you had besides her renting a movie and then felonizing you?
Yeah, right.
Like, is this really such a great love lost? You've spent 12 minutes talking. Yeah. 11 and a half of them were fucking unbearable to television viewers. Let it go.
Yeah.
No such luck.
No. And yet, as she is leaving, he arm grabs her and pulls her in for another kiss that she does not even give any token resistance to. And that's...
No, she doesn't.
Where we leave it. Moving on to our A-plot, Joey has to deal with everyone else's crushes. After I am sure the previouslys on the air version ended with Joey seeing Gail and Bob making out at the end of the pilot, we get this. Clip 6.
Look, I know what I saw. It was big and it was ugly and it attacked me. And it's still out there just waiting.
I may not believe you, Stephanie, but I believe in you.
What?
Come on.
Cut.
What she saw in this case is nothing to do with Gail at all. It was big and ugly, though. This is a scene from Dawson's horror movie. And since he has no other friends to cast in it, Joey and Pacey's characters have to kiss. Joey's extremely not into it. And we then see Joey's watching this back in Dawson's room as he works on a stunt mannequin head and tells her she's going to have to kiss Pacey. She refuses. And Dawson condescends that she's kissing Pacey's character, not Pacey. And they argue about whether it's a romance or a horror movie or an homage with a heavy allegorical slant. No. Joey flops back and whines some more about how gross Pacey is. And clip 7.
Do it for me?
Oh, not the baby voice already. It's so early.
I know. Plus, remember this moment, Dawson, when you're becoming crying Dawson. You did this to yourself.
Joey doesn't want to regurgitate on camera and asks, why doesn't Dawson kiss him? Well, it's because his lips are reserved for someone else. When Joey poutingly asks whether he and Jen have kissed and he says there's no need to rush fate, Joey advises him not to wait too long. Jen's from New York where things move faster, so he thinks it'll be enchanting for Jen to meet a strapping young man, conceited, who doesn't have sex on the brain all the time. And then they argue about how long Jen's likely to remain a virgin. Dawson mostly insisting she'll find his reticence refreshing. Clip 8.
I'm not suggesting leather straps and Crisco, just a kiss.
Jen and I will definitely kiss, don't you worry. Question is, will your lips ever find Pacey's?
I vote for an extensive rewrite.
Well, that's too bad. Because you definitely have kissing lips.
What?
Check that out.
He turns the head around. It's upsetting.
You give good lip. You know, Joey, you could always just close your eyes and think of someone else. Explain to me the Crisco. I don't want to wait.
<Da-na-na-na>.
Exactly.
We didn't hear it here, but there are so many like big words that are used incorrectly. I think I'm going to start keeping a count.
Yeah, you should.
For these Dawson's episodes, like so repelling, and by her own admittance, like guys, just dial it down one level so that you're not fucking it up.
Mm-hmm. After the credits, there is school B-roll, including two students rollerblading out in front in the late 1990s, which I don't think we were doing anymore by then. And inside, Nellie gets on the intercom to exposit about a dance in celebration of the football team. And we see the name Scott Foley among the guest credits. And then Dawson is storming into Mr. Gold's class to bother him some more, this time with reverse psychology, saying Mr. Gold was right not to let him in the class, but what if Dawson just had his study hall in Mr. Gold's room during film class? And Mr. Gold decides to relent on the condition that Dawson sit in the back without participating at all, which, like, good luck. And at lunch, Dawson finds his friends and starts bossing them around with demands so he can make the film festival deadline. They're going to have to shoot all weekend, and Joey will have to quit being a bitch about the kiss. But Pacey says he's not engorged about it either. Then Dawson gets an idea. What if Joey died sooner? And then her beautiful and bright cousin from New York can find her body. This way, there's no kiss, and Joey can be back behind the camera with Dawson where she belongs, he says. Rude. What about her kissing lips? But Dawson is, as usual, Dawson's biggest fan. Clip 9.
It's better this way. It's so unpredictable. The audience is never going to see it coming. It's like Janet Leigh in Psycho.
Drew Barrymore in Scream.
A ripoff of a ripoff.
Yes?
Joey.
And yet, she seems satisfied by the solution. And then Dawson's in the back of the film class as the actually enrolled students, including Scott Foley as Cliff, discuss the film they want to enter in the film festival. To Dawson's visible disgust, the film they have been working on is a football epic with Cliff as the star. Clip 10.
All right, remember, we want the audience asking, can he do it? Will the team win the big game? Remember, this is autobiographical. So if anybody has any questions, I was there. I lived it. Come talk to me, all right?
Helmets of Glory chronicles last year's football season. And get this, Mr. Cliff Quarterback himself is writing, directing, and starring in it.
Oh, a Streisand.
That made me laugh.
Me too. Foley's delivery in that was fantastic.
Completely.
So good.
Yes, he gets it. He's really being very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so is she. And especially in our timeline is like our various friends are reading the 9 billion page Streisand autobiography. And like I get on various social media, I get these updates as people are at like different points in this extremely long book. And it does sound like, oh, man, we might have to read it. It sounds like it's a banger. Anyway. In an extremely typical move, Dawson goes on to say the class is entering their movie in my film festival, making them his direct competition. And Joey winces that a sports film is the epitome of everything Dawson is against, and could anything be more cruel? She makes a bunch of disgusted faces during the scene, which you can see in I think 6 or 8 pack. I forget. It was a bunch in the visual aids. Anything could be more cruel, we find out, as we see Cliff down the hall introducing himself to Jen in her chunky slides. Cliff nicely offers to introduce Jen around or take her out, and she also nicely says she'll let him know after she's settled in some more. He says goodbye, calling her Jen, short for Jennifer, and she does likewise, calling him Cliff, short for Clifford, not Heathcliff, even though it was right there in the other storyline. Hello.
Or Clifton. Hello. Justice True. For Cliftons.
Sure. And then she walks straight past Dawson without even acknowledging him or Joey, as Joey repeats that they move fast in New York. Oh, God, we fucking get it.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The next day, Dawson asks Mitch for the camcorder, clip 11.
It's in my bedroom on the night table, your mother's side. You might want to take the tape out.
Fucking, oh, how about I'll go get it? That's your son. Oh. Yuck! Dawson then takes 10 minutes to say he would like some sex advice, specifically about the mechanics of kissing. Deliberately setting down the Joey mannequin head, Dawson asks about technique. Mitch says there is none, which is not true, and forces Dawson to ask what makes a good kiss. Cut to Joey climbing up the ladder outside. Back to Mitch, describing his first time kissing Gail. She wanted his chapstick, so he puts them on his own lips and then kissed her. Also, not efficacious. If her lips were, like, actually chapped. It's not cute either.
Yeah. Also, girls always have their own lip balm. Come on.
Yes, they do. It should have been the other way around. Great point. Mm-hmm. Upstairs, we see and hear that Joey has entered the most sound-carrying house in TV history. Clip 12.
The chapstick was really smooth and just slid onto her lips. The sensation was amazing. And the chemistry was already there, you know, but this was just one of those things that cemented it, you know? It was unforgettable. And most importantly, romantic.
See, and here I thought you were all about sex.
Well, we still jumped each other. But you gotta have romance. It's all about romance. And chapstick.
They're throbbing biological urges.
Did you cut that deliberately for, like, specifically for Dawson's Creek, or did you just already have it?
No, I cut it for this.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, God.
Dawson's like, seriously, though, how do you kiss? And, of course, Mitch picks up the head and tells Dawson to practice on it. Dawson refuses, and Mitch calling this a big father-son moment only creeps all of us out. Joey watches and smiles. I'm so upset. Mitch does finally offer the specific tip of keeping one's lower lip relaxed, unfortunately adding that you want it to dance with hers. Joey presses her own lips together as Dawson closes his eyes and moves in, and so does Joey. And when Dawson is done, Mitch says it was good. Dawson holding the Joey head in his lap is a bad visual, and you can see that in the visual aids as well, but...
Yeah, it would be worse, actually, ironically, if Dawson's entire outfit weren't XXXXL, as was the style at the time, because you kind of can't tell what the head is near. That's like, true. It's in the lap of the pants, but that could be half a mile from his actual cock. So, thanks, 90s.
Anyway, Dawson then gets up and orders Mitch to forget this happened. And upstairs, Joey hears a clatter and follows the phone cord, which also was the style at the time, not really even anymore, to the linen closet, overhearing Gail hiss that she can't. He's downstairs, but then making kissy noises into the phone, hanging up. And Joey does not bother pretending she wasn't eavesdropping and is still right there when Gail comes out and tries to act casual. Joey's about to leave, but then decides to turn back and intone, "I know," and then leave. Cut to shooting Joey's death scene. Pacey, as Steven the sea creature, attacks her. She fights back with an oar and ducks behind a boat so that her mannequin double can pop up and get its head knocked off. And honestly, we saw comparable special effects in The Initiation. Join us on Patreon to hear all about it. Dawson calls cut. Jen claims it looked really good. Pacey tells Joey she dies well and asks for another take. But too bad for Pacey. They're behind schedule. So then... Joey goes inside to clean up. Jen follows to help, forcing Joey to tell her she can mop her own chest off. As Jen wraps a towel around her, she casually comments, clip 13.
You have nice breasts. I mean, don't get the wrong idea. I'm completely hetero and just commenting girl to girl. You have a really nice body.
tall.
No, you're not at all. You're commanding. I mean, come on, I wish I had your stature and your long legs. My body's a mess. So I'm too short, and my hips do this weird thing, and my face is shaped like a duck. No, and I hate my breasts.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely normal to hate the way you look.
You don't look like a duck.
You know, that's the nicest thing you've said to me since we met. Joy, I plan to make it really hard for you not to like me.
Not impossible, though. I'm doing fine. It's actually not her fault. Like, there is something real cringe about Jen, but it's not... I finally figured out after like 30 minutes of this episode what exactly was bugging me. And it's that there's this really like stepmom vibe to Jen. That's what she's trying to, that's the level on which she's trying to get Joey to like her. And it's yeah.
That's really insightful. I can see it. I hadn't thought about it that way, but yes, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. Also, stature, like, stop, guys. Stop.
But yeah, overall, I think this needed a sensitivity read from a straight woman. Like maybe something like that top makes your tits look great or whatever the network safe equivalent is, because you have really nice breasts. Make it seem like she wants to cut them off and eat them. Like it is too clinical and weird. And it might be normal to hate the way you look, unfortunately, but I think at least today's shows for youth try to message a little more positively, and that is a good thing. We have grown from this point, so good job, TV writers. Mm-hmm. And then Jen is in her scene with Pacey as Steven. He tells her he will help her find her cousin and then kisses her way too aggressively. And Dawson storms in, asking Jen if Pacey hurt her, even as Jen and Joey are both giggling that it was no big deal. Pacey wants another take, and Dawson snits. Actually, he's cutting the kiss. It doesn't make sense for this new character to be kissing her dead cousin's boyfriend, and that's a wrap, which is fine with the stars of this scene, because they both have plans, and we've already talked about Pacey's. Dawson. Dawsoning. He really was just fully the character right from the start.
He really, just the nostrils flaring to block out the sun as he charges into the scene. It's like, I have a little more compassion for this absolute twerp, but not much. Shut up, Dawson.
Yep. So then Dawson tells Jen that in honor of the school dance, he rented Saturday Night Fever, Staying Alive, and Grease, only one of which has a school dance scene, by the way. Jen's like, in honor of the school dance, I am going to the school dance. Trying to sound unconcerned, Dawson asks if she's going alone, but no, Cliff asked her. And I wondered at this point if this was supposed to be the football player character that she met in the pilot, and then they couldn't get that guy back and Scott Foley benefited. Don't know. Unclear. Right. Jen says it's not a date, which Dawson disputes, and then Jen immediately rescinds, but she's new and it sounded fun, and Dawson should stop by. They could dance, but he wouldn't want to break his date with Travolta, about which, for legal reasons, I have no comment.
Yep.
And then...
Why would you?
Why would I? No reason. Then up in his room, Dawson paces and rants about Cliff while Joey lies on his bed, enduring his bullshit, as though what Jen might want out of this excursion is remotely related to the quality of Cliff's movie script, as Joey points out. But what especially bothered Dawson is that Jen was so offhand telling him. Joey agrees she was thoughtless. Not really. Dawson continues spinning out, speculating in detail about what they're doing right now, leading up to their kiss goodnight. Dawson just doesn't know what Cliff did that Dawson didn't. Joey's like, he asked? So Dawson blurts that
he's... a pretty good line, actually.
Well, honestly... So Dawson blurts that he's going to the dance. Joey reminds him that Jen is there with someone else and he should think this through. Dawson? Clip 14.
I'm the one who should be kissing her, Joey, not some J. Crew ad.
Okay, this may only be funny to us because we are old enough to remember, but there was a Dawson's Creek J. Crew catalog. There's a BuzzFeed story about it from like the 20 teens that we linked in the show notes, but it was like, this was a big cross promo deal at the time. And proof of what a big deal it was is that at the time of the BuzzFeed post, it was like some number of hundreds of dollars. Now, if you try to buy it on eBay now, it's listed at $999. It's a fucking J. Crew catalog.
Like, yeah. With James Vanderbeek on it. I mean, really. Also, his idea of joining the battle for Jen's heart is to put on a vest.
Thank you. Thank you.
No.
Yeah, that's literally in my notes. Oh, no, he's putting on a vest. Well, you can see it.
Look out, world. Vested Dawson.
He's going to make his bottom lip dance and get the girl. And Joey's like, whatever, I guess I have time to watch you try to do this. So while he's checking his hair, so that could take a while, Joey comes downstairs in time to hear Gail in the kitchen telling Mitch she might be late getting home after work. And Mitch kisses Gail a lot. And then as she is sashaying out, Joey's waiting on the stairs to say goodnight slash scare the crap out of her again. Gail says they need to talk. And Joey says, clip 15.
Do you remember my mom, Mrs. Leary?
I just want to clear up this morning.
My mom was the best. She was an incredible woman. My dad, however, didn't always see that. He cheated on her for as long as I can remember, and it tore her apart, crippling their relationship and nearly destroying the entire family.
Why are you telling me this, Joey?
Because your actions affect others. They bleed into the lives of those around you, and...
You don't understand.
No, you don't understand. My mom got cancer and died, so you do the math. You know your reasons for doing what you're doing? They can't possibly outweigh the everlasting damage that you're creating.
Does Dawson know?
Know what?
How to dance. I told her we were going.
I know how to dance.
Yeah, right. Let's go. Have fun tonight,
Mrs. Leary. Ooh.
I'm sorry. Did she just basically say if you cheat on your husband, he will get cancer and die? Because that's what I took away from that little story.
Yeah. I was like, I am doing the math. And as usual, when I try to do math, it's not coming out where you're coming out.
And then, in case you weren't sure when we are in history, clip 16. I'm the kind of person who endorses a deep commitment. Getting perfect is what I live for. But I look and then it's fill up a feeling. It's like I'm down on the floor and I don't know what I'm in for. Conversation is a time of prison. The interaction of a lover and I'm making the time I'm talking. Savage Garden in the house. So we eventually end up on Cliff as he tells Jen in her very, very short skirt that this is technically a victory dance. She asks if he made the winning play, and he's like, you're here, aren't you? And she's like, I should leave, but fine, because it's Scott Foley, and he is so cute.
He is.
And when she asks if there's anything he's bad at, he claims dancing, and she orders him to prove it, and then he does. He dances like a dad.
He's... certainly does, but it's actually kind of charming in the visual aids. Yeah.
So Dawson and Joey walk in on Jen and Cliff dorkily dancing. Joey asks what Dawson's plan was. He didn't get that far, so Joey tells him to write something quick because some people would consider what Jen and Cliff are doing foreplay. Dawson orders Joey to dance with him, of course, just in time for the music to switch to a slow dance. It's the law. Sarah, you're rolling your eyes, but you know it is the law.
I do. It is black letter law.
Mm-hmm. He holds. So then Dawson is like holding Joey's hand out again. Also like a dad or grandpa at a wedding. Mm-hmm. Like teens don't dance like this. None of the other extras are dancing anywhere like this. But while Dawson moves Joey around the floor, he can't see Jen and Cliff. And he tries to like do choreo. Tells Joey she's good and gazes into her eyes just in time for Jen and Cliff to appear next to them on the dance floor. Cliff thinks he recognizes Dawson from his film class. Dawson has to explain the technicality, but Jen adds that Dawson's a very talented filmmaker. Dawson tries to downplay his interest in his only hobby before moving Joey away. And then as the track switches to a fast one, Dawson sees Jen going outside and follows her. she was hoping they could dance and is not that worried about leaving her date for 3 minutes to do it. When Dawson presses the point, she's like, forget it, I guess. And he follows her into the can before all the girls scream him back out into the hall again. And later, Joey's bored and wants to leave, but Dawson, staring at Jen on the floor surrounded by Cliff, other football players, and their girlfriends, pouts that he's enjoying his misery. Joey notes that he hardly knows Jen, but Dawson says that's the magic of it. He already feels that connection that says they're meant to be together. Joey is creeped out because he's acting like the sea creature from his movie and Cliff 17.
I can't explain it any better, Joe. The girl's a mystery to me, but I feel like I've known her my whole life. I mean, it's like the way I feel about you. She challenges me the way you do. She could be you. Except she's Jen.
Well, let me just remind you how your little allegorical horror movie / love story ends. The creature doesn't get the girl. He dies a violent, bloody, horrible death. Rest in peace, Dawson. It's nice knowing you.
Where are you going?
I'm already dead, remember?
All right, jeez.
Wow.
You weren't required to come, actually.
No. Also, as usual, the extended metaphor has been tortured. But like, talk about already dead. But it just does not. It falls apart immediately that it's like, who are we? What, Moebius? Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Yeah. After Joey leaves, Jen returns to the dance floor with Cliff, and Dawson says it's time for a rewrite and very formally cuts in on their slow dance, clip 18.
Actually, I don't want to cut in. I'd like to take over. I'd like to thank you, Cliff, for showing Jen such a great time for the earlier part of the evening, but I'm here now in sound mind and body, and I can take it from here.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Dawson, what are you talking about?
You and me. Me and her. Cliff, I know it's a little confusing right now, but all you really need to know is that Jen and I have something going on, and it's a little bit raw and undefined right now, but this is my attempt to clarify the situation. So I'd like to ask you to manly step aside so that I might have a moment with the object of my desire.
Jen, who is this guy?
Dawson, what are you doing?
Hey, you're gonna have to leave now.
Okay, this is too weird.
No, I think you need to go. I'm staying.
What's going on, Jen? I mean, do you wanna be with this guy? Why don't you just go?
So why don't you go?
And if I don't?
I haven't thought it through that far.
You know, I'll tell you what. I'll make it easy for both of you. I'll go.
Take us with you, girl. Because
I want you to manly step aside. No.
No.
It's not an adverb.
I know. It's just, yeah, AI pretension that was scraping God knows what.
Oh my God, seriously, there's an ad that's been playing on Who Weekly lately for Rosetta Stone, where at a certain point they're like, and you can effortlessly blah, 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 blah about learning language. It's like, that's not a word.
Like, no.
Manly at least is a word. You're just using it wrong. Manfully? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Gentlemanly? Then Pacey, Dawson, and Joey are leaving, Dawson calling it the single most horrific night of his life, and himself a simp and blaming Joey for letting him do it. Joey knew this would backfire on her somehow, because, you know, that's her lot. Dawson pouts that Jen's probably kissing Cliff right now, and Pacey's like, well, bye. He got his own problems, as we know. So then Gail gets home with a doggy bag from her work dinner, and Mitch tells her he thinks Dawson is kissing the girl next door right now. Mitch asks if Gail remembers their first kiss, and she keeps guessing the wrong date and gets offended because it's the most vivid memory of his life thus far. And she's like, well, I'm tired. But behind his back, she pulls out a chapstick and smears some on over her lipstick and pretends to remember yet another wrong date before kissing him and proving she knew all along. This would be cute if we didn't know she was having an affair. Also, he has this really girly watch on, and he ends up with so much of her lipstick on his mouth. It's like weird on a subtextual level.
Also, have we learned nothing from Jim and Cindy almost 10 years ago? It's the parents. No one cares.
No. They can just like come through, drop some food off, and leave. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
After they do kiss, over Mitch's shoulder, Gail looks hunted. Then back to Dawson and Joey on the street, clip 19.
Joe, let's assess. What have we learned from tonight's 90210 evening?
Nothing, apparently. See previous comments.
Apparently, not even what redundant means, for one thing, tonight's evening. Joey thinks they've learned to stay home and watch movies on a Saturday night because there's no rewind button on life. Dawson thinks it's officially over for him and Jen, and Joey's like, it never began. Dawson feels like the monster from his movie in that there's something inside him that he can't control, which, like, that thing is not inside, it's outside you, very much so. But anyway, he goes on. He only experiences emotional extremes, and if he gets like this again, Joey should chain him to his bed and wait for him to have a moment of clarity. And no, she can't use leather straps unless she explains that Crisco thing from earlier. Joey can't understand how someone as self-aware as Dawson can be so clueless, which is when they both spot Jen buying wares from the saltwater taffy cart. And now they're supposed to be in, like, Cape Cod, right?
Uh-huh.
Is that a thing?
I mean, sure.
Okay. All right.
But, like, in the sense that, like, at any seaside, in any, like, saltwater contiguous tourist place, they will have saltwater taffy.
Okay.
I would say it's more of a Jersey Shore thing, but...
All right.
Yeah. Fair. Also, what is he doing there at, like, 10:45 at night?
Yes. These are not saltwater taffy hours.
No. Also, it's not tourist season.
No.
Go home.
So, Dawson asks what he should do. Joey elaborately shrugs and pouts. That's her move, and says that's up to him. And Dawson, clip 20.
Well, I pretty much bastardized the evening. I may as well complete it.
No, you didn't!
Not what that means!
No, you didn't! Buy a dictionary! Anyway, of course, Joey gives Dawson permission to ditch her and wishes him luck on getting his kiss before hunching off. So then Dawson joins Jen, her slides, and her incredibly short skirt, but creepily lurks a few feet back until she lets him know she knows he's there by saying, clip 21.
I'm beginning to feel like your TV set.
What?
What?
What? It's also what? My note.
What?
I guess because he's just motionless watching her, but, like, what?
He thinks he can just turn her on and off? Then a question mark?
Yeah, okay, maybe. Maybe.
He's sticking a video. You know what? Who cares?
Also, who in the 90s was saying TV set as opposed to just TV? Anyway, Dawson didn't know what to say. Jen calls that a first, then turns around to say she's really angry, and what does he want from her? Staring creepily and unblinkingly, he says he wants to know what's going on between them. She asks if she has to tell him tonight. Well, he's sorry about what he did, but clip 22.
I feel like I'm becoming that friend who you come over and tell all your boy adventures to. I don't want that to be the case. I want to be your boy adventure.
Can't you be both?
No, not at 15, you can't. It's too complicated.
So I'm interested.
In what?
An adventure. What do I have to do?
You could kiss me.
Okay, what the listener can't see is the reaction on Dave's face at I want to be your boy adventure, because he didn't hear that in the Dawson's Creek promo 5 trillion times when this show was first on. I feel like I've heard that line at least that many times, if not more. Like, it was definitely in the mix in that trailer.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, it's not great. So Jen kind of flounces around before saying she's a cliche. In New York, she was moving so fast, she kept stumbling and falling. And here, she feels like she's walking at a steady pace. And if she kisses Dawson, her knees might buckle. She doesn't know if she can handle it now. Again, the tortured metaphor going on and on. So they both watch some boomers on a boat get up and dance, and then Jen asks if Dawson wants to dance because she's been wanting to dance with him all night. And you can see in the visual aids when they cut to the back of her hair, the humidity has just absolutely ravaged it. I've been there, girl. I've really...
Yeah, same. I've suffered.
Jen lectures that the kiss is the end result, not what's important. It's all about the wanting and the romance, Dawson adds. Dawson looks panicky, so presumably he's worried that she will feel his boner through his giant pants. And then Joey sadly comes back around from wherever she was to sadly watch Dawson and Jen slow dancing, sadly. And sadly, that's where we have to leave things for now. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
Well, Katie Holmes had a nice bit of business at the end. She looked really sad, but also like happy for him at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You forget what a big ask this was of a young actor to, you know, be in love with Dawson. With that said, Cliff is my MVP.
I'm going to give it to Mr. Gold for finding a way to get Dawson off his back while also humiliating him every day. Right in front of him, making him be so close to the film class he wants to take, yet just far enough to not be actually taking it. Least valuable player. I think if we can
Tamara.
Just... Well, I was going to say, take that as red, but I guess we can't. She'll be gone eventually. So yeah, Tamara, yuck. You're gross.
Yeah, it's not great. Mm-mm. Speaking of not great, next time on Again With This, it's a tale of the tape for Michael and Jane's marriage on Melrose. Again. Plus, Lexi convenes the first Not Quite Wives Club, Eve floats her old Sally's boat, and Kyle's boys finally swim into the script to clear up this literal centuries-long misunderstanding about his fertility. If you're ready to dive into our visual aids, you can do that for this and every other episode at againwiththispodcast.com. We are on Blue Sky at Again With This. We are on Instagram at Again With This Podcast. And you can call us 210-920-4699. And you should. I'm Ripoff of Ripoff, Sarah D. Bunting. And I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Some J. Crew ad, Tara Ariano. And she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is all about romance and chapstick. Talk to you next time if I'm not fired.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.